Thank you, Alan, and all who have shared in the worship team. Am I coming through? I'm sorry. What more do we need to do? Well, maybe you'll hear this. Well, anyways, there we are. Okay. We are beginning, last week we began this series on Nails of the Cross. During this Lenten season, we are looking within ourselves as believers, as followers of Christ. It's easy for us to point a finger at those other big bad sinners out there that we are so innocent of, you know, those sins. We can easily say, I'm so glad I don't have this issue of sin like that person and that person. And we talked last week about the sin of spiritual pride. And we noted that that nail, that first nail of spiritual pride separates us from God. It's not just the Nellie Olson complex where a person thinks they are some grand person, but it's anything we do in our lives that separates us from God, or that we put ourselves ahead of what God wants for us. Today, we're going to look at another one of those secret sins that are so easy for us to fall into. And yes, I call it a sin. That's the sin of a critical or judgmental attitude. I don't know. I guess I shouldn't presume. I should presume this for everyone, but I know it's awfully easy for me to look at others and see all the things they are doing wrong. Now, and then it's difficult to look at myself and see what God is saying to me. Now, I'm not asking you to raise your hands, but I suppose if none of you have ever had that problem, you may leave. This sermon isn't for you. That's good. How do I follow that? No. Well, anyways, Jesus spoke to that issue of being critical or judgmental of others. We look at the Sermon on the Mount. Last week and this week both, I'm sort of really intrigued with the Sermon on the Mount so much. So much of what Jesus presented is so practical, so applicable in our everyday life. And it's all about the way we as Christ's followers should act, how we should live, how we conduct ourselves, how we relate to others. And you know, Jesus was a master at communicating. He was humorous. And I can just about imagine the people chuckling when he told this story about the person who was always going around looking for the speck of sawdust in other person's eyes, but they couldn't see their own issues. It's a little bit like, well, excuse me. It's a little bit like I'm going to see myself as someone's always going to go around. I better be careful where I turn with this now. I better be careful how much I talk to you about the odd and strange and bad things in your life whenever I have so much in my own life. And then he said, Jesus said, imagine walking around with a plank in your eye. Now, that's a little hard to imagine, so this is as close as I can get to it. What would it be like all your life to be carrying this around? I should have a sign to hang on this that says, God has called me to be the official inspector and tell you all the things that are wrong in your life. Right? Now stop and think about it. If I have this attitude, are you going to be willing to listen to me as I tell you what is wrong in your life? And after all, it's probably not something majorly wrong. It's just something I don't like about you. But some people I've met throughout my life just feel it's their responsibility to always be pointing out and being critical, pointing out the bad things about the way other people live. Now just imagine this for a little bit. Jesus told this story. I won't read it again, but it's powerful, you know? Because when you stop and think about it, when I am looking down this at you, what am I seeing? I'm seeing more of my stuff here than what's wrong with you. We'll get to that in a minute. And furthermore, how willing are you going to be to listen to what I have to say to you when I'm walking around with this all the time? How close can I get? You see, this doesn't allow me to get very close to people either, does it? You'd sort of stay away from a distance. You know, I don't really want to be too close to that guy. Jesus used a word there, judging. The Greek word that's used there connotes an attitude of my using my words to condemn you. Like a judge that pounds like that, you know. Just think Judge Judy. I'm sure we all have watched Judge Judy. Now, that's kind of an interesting look at justice, but Judge Judy likes to tell everybody else the final answer. She thinks she knows the final answer. I kind of like some of the things Judge Judy says, but I also realize so much of that is for effect and for drama. Judging, criticizing, a critical attitude and so forth are all of the things Jesus was talking about. And I challenge us today to think within our own lives, what is going on in here in my life that I so often find it so easy to talk to other people about what they are doing wrong? Well, one of the first things that comes to my mind is, when I criticize you or judge you, I am, in essence, putting you down to somehow make me feel better. You see, we sometimes think that if I can somehow or another realize that other person is just as imperfect as I am, or maybe even a little bit more imperfect, it brings that other person down so that I can feel better in comparison to that other person, to you. And I think Jesus was saying, Christ followers should not be about the process of putting others down just to make myself feel better. Because after all, is God impressed with the way I judge others? Is my judgment and criticism of others going to help God out? I think God knows all about it to start with, doesn't he? And yet, when I am walking around as an inspector telling you what all is wrong with you, you would want to say back to me, but Andy, Look at what's going on in your life. Look what you got right there. But I'm not usually willing to hear it, am I? Oftentimes, being critical of others, and I'm not talking about when there is an outright sin that needs to be confronted. I'm talking about the little bitty everyday kinds of things that we face along the way that we find it so easy to be critical of our neighbors or the people at church or the people at school or at work or wherever it might be. We get so critical of others. And usually it's because we want to somehow or another pull another person down to make ourselves look better. There's another thing that I know is true in my own life. And that is, when I am busy going around telling you what's wrong with you, you know, pointing out what's wrong with all of you all the time, it's because I don't want to look at this. I don't want to look at what's going on in here. I'm probably trying to protect my own pain, my own woundedness that I'm not willing to face. You see, as long as I keep the emphasis on you, I don't have to look at myself. And not Jesus, this was interesting when he said in that parable of the plank and the splinter. He said, if you have any validity at all of looking at other people, you need to address the own plank in your own eye before you can go around looking at the splinter in other people's life. It's a little bit like, I think I alluded the first time I was here in January about my pilgrimage a little bit. In seminary, we had, for 2 years, one day a week we would go up to Case Western Reserve Hospital and had a class all day long, various classes. And part of that day was a two-hour block of time that we spent in a group called a self-growth, looking at yourself and looking at the issues in your own life before we could start looking at others. I thought I was a pretty good person. After all, I came from a good family. I was reasonably intelligent. I had a lot of things going for me. I was energetic. I was all of these things. But I wasn't able to see myself and how I related to others. I'll admit, I grew up in a critical attitude, critical stepmother. I adopted a really critical attitude toward others. I was not aware of what I was doing. But I was critical of others because I had a very low self-esteem myself. And I'll never forget, that was a good many years ago. One day in that class, one of the people, after we had learned to know each other and so forth, and the trust level was there, he looked at me across the room and he said, Andy, I got to tell you something. He said, I'd hate to be your wife to have to live with you. He said, you're the most arrogant and critical I've ever seen. I said, me? I wasn't looking at myself. I was always looking at others. Jesus said here, we need to be able to look at ourselves before we start criticizing others. That was a hard lesson to take. But it also was the beginning of my healing journey. When somebody finally confronted me, not in a critical way, but in a healthy way, to help me see myself and realize that I had to work on my own issues before I could begin to even think about helping others. Well, for whatever it's worth, it's like, well, we oftentimes are critical of others because we want to hide our own pain. A third point is, I've alluded to this previously. When I have this up here, suppose it were sticking out of my eye. It's interesting, Jesus used that term, the eye. I wonder why he thought, sticking out of your eye? Why that? And finally, as I was thinking about this week, I realized, you see, when I have this up here, I can't see any of you. I'm only seeing what's here. And in psychology terms, we call that projection. You see, I see that splinter in you. I'll pick on Reed. He's right here close. See, I can see there's something wrong with you there. You have something wrong. And what am I seeing? I'm seeing my own issue here and projecting it on Reed. Ouch. Ouch. Do you find that it's so easy for you to somehow see something in other people? All the time looking at them? Maybe it's your neighbor, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's the person you work with, maybe it's your children. Oh, I had to realize some of the things I picked on my children and criticized my children the most about was stuff that was still going on in here. I was projecting my own stuff onto other people. And sadly to say, you know, I don't have to remind us that there are many public persons, pastors. I get a little concerned. There was a pastor in my background way years ago who always was talking about pornography. Now, how bad it was and how terrible it was and everybody else was using pornography. Of course, you can't argue with that. That's something to be talked about, only to find out that he was covering his own porn addiction for all these years. Not very much authenticity there, is there? I wonder what other people would say about you. You ever wonder that? I wonder sometimes. What is that other person thinking about me? I guarantee you all that what you think others think about you is probably very different from what they do think about you. Y'all may say amen to that if you want to, but anyways. It's a little scary sometimes for me to really find out what you really think about me, etc. You know, and we don't want to hear that, do we? How many times have you, even in your own life, said, this person down the street, they're all the time talking about such and such and such, but yet they would do this. How is there any authenticity about what that other person is saying when they are living this way themselves? I wonder if people would say that about us. Anyways, enough of this. By the way, this feels terrible. Looks stupid. I mean, it's foolish, doesn't it? But stop and think. Jesus was pretty good at saying things pretty clearly. And he said, by the way, also, what goes around comes around is our present day way of saying it. He said, for whatever way you treat others, you will be treated in return. And I guarantee you, if you have an attitude like this that always is critical of others, you're going to find people being critical of you. It just simply comes around. It comes full circle. Jesus also said something a few verses later in Matthew 7, verse 12. He said, whatever you would want others to do to you, you do to them first. That's a pretty practical kind of admonition, isn't it? We call it the golden rule. Good way of applying some basic truth in life. Jesus was a great teacher. You may not remember much of what I said today, but you'll remember this, I'm sure. Now, there's one other thing that I want to say about this critical. Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work. A critical attitude. Excuse me. And that is that when I'm always critical about other people, it's usually for the purpose of judging them to find justice, the Judge Judy concept. Punishment or justice, and this is the passage from John chapter 8 that Alan read, the passage of scripture that talks about the woman caught in adultery and was brought before Jesus. Remember I said to start with that the Sermon on the Mount was all about the way Jesus' followers are to live and to act, which is very different from the way everybody else is acting. And so therefore he says there in John chapter 8, the woman that was caught in an outright sin, big bad sin. And the people brought her in front of Jesus and said, now, you know, the law says we're supposed to stone her because of her sin. She has to pay for this sin. Punishment, justice is usually what we associate with judging. But Jesus did something very strange and very different. Jesus chose to be gracious and forgiving, and for the person to find healing. And here's what I want to end with today, because I want you folks to remember that while there is a time and a place and a need to confront sin, which Jesus did, it needs to be done in such a way that it doesn't condemn the person. You hear the difference? Jesus found a way of confronting wrong. Jesus found a way of confronting what, and is saying, okay, she was caught in adultery. She is guilty of a sin. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is, how do I react to it? What do I do in response to it? And if I always have a critical attitude, I'm usually not interested in mercy and justice, or mercy and healing, I'm more concerned about making sure that other person pays for it and there's punishment for it. Our world is filled with the concept of when we do wrong, there has to be punishment. There's a time and a place for all things necessary. But folks, on the common garden variety, everyday kinds of things that we are so critical about others, it's not a matter of finding justice or punishment so much as it is to find healing. There's a verse in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 where Paul says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Critical spirit is not a gentle spirit, all right? And then he goes on and says, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. It's like going back to that plank and the splinter thing. When we are so busy looking at the little things in other people's lives that are wrong, we need to be so careful that we don't look over, try to justify, excuse our own issues. Folks, if we're going to be critical in a healthy sense, we need to be critical about ourselves first. I wish I had a stone here to illustrate. You know, those people were all lined up with stones ready to start throwing the stones at the woman who had done wrong. Did we ever think that our words of criticism against our brother or our sister is like throwing stones to wound them, to hurt them, eventually to kill them? That, my friends, is what it is. We should be very careful on the words we use in talking about others. And Jesus said to those people who were gathering around and wanting to throw stones, he said, "Let that person who is without sin be the first one to throw a stone." And I imagine Jesus stooped down and picked up a stone and said, "And I'll even join you. But you be the first." But finally, Jesus said, after everybody had left, he said, "This isn't about throwing stones. This isn't about judging. This isn't about punishment. This is about grace and mercy." And folks, if we want others to be gracious with us, once we can get to the place that, yes, I have faults, but I want you to forgive and accept my faults. If I want you to be willing and able to accept me and overlook my faults, in other words, put the stones down and don't throw them, then I need to be willing to do the same for you. And so let your prayer be, "God, help me with my critical attitude that is always wanting to find fault in others, but not willing to look at myself." I want you to be gracious with me, then I need to be gracious with everyone else. Let's pray. Lord, your word speaks to all of us. It's so easy, Lord, for us to develop a critical attitude toward others, and we nitpick at other people's faults. And we blame others for all the big, bad, wrong things they do. But forgive us, Lord, I pray, for harboring an attitude of criticism, and not being willing to look at our own things in our own life, but to point a finger at others, which winds up just putting them down or protecting our own selves or projecting our own faults and failures and shortcomings on other people. Help us to realize, Lord, that it was for our sin of a critical spirit that nailed you to the cross. Forgive us, O Lord, for all the many big and little ways in which we find it so easy for us to be critical of our brothers and our sisters. Help us to remember, O God, that you died for every one of us. And for our own sins that we try to hide and deny. And help us, Lord, lead us to the foot of the cross to receive your forgiveness in our own lives. May you bring healing to us as we seek to be instruments of healing for others. Cleanse our mouth, cleanse our heart, purify our actions and our words and our relationship with others. Make us instruments of your grace and peace and forgiveness in all that we do. Amen.